This is the Memory Palace. I'm Nate DeMayo, and this is a rerun. It's an old favorite, good for the dog days of summer, as I am on vacation this week, taking my daughter back to my old stomping grounds in Rhode Island, and doing on-brand things like taking her to Paul Revere's house in Boston, and I could not be more excited. I'm also super excited about this fall. I am currently the artist in residence at the Metropolitan Museum of Art in Manhattan, and I am pulling together a new series of stories inspired by the Met's collection, by the Met itself. And these are going to start debuting in early October. So spending a little time this August kind of getting things in order. There's more details to come on that. But if you're a subscriber to the show, those stories are just going to start showing up in your feed, essentially as an additional content. The Memory Palace will continue on as normal otherwise. I'll also be doing a few live shows here and there. There's one that I can announce right now, and that is in Providence. It's a hometown show for me that I'm very excited about, at the Columbus Theater on Broadway, around the corner from the house where my grandfather and my mom grew up in. That's going to be on September 14th. It's a Wednesday night. Go to thememorypalace.us/events for tickets and for announcements about other shows. Back to you with a new episode in 2 weeks. Meantime, here's one for the summer. This is my daughter's favorite. Incidentally, here's episode 49, Dreamland. This is the Memory Palace. I'm Nate DeMayo. You could go to Dreamland. You just caught the ferry at 23rd Street or the Battery, or slogged your way through the slow crawl of horse carts and motor cars, heading south on Shell Road in the golden light of a late June afternoon, down to the edge of the Atlantic, where a white city rose up above the brick and ash of Brooklyn. And you could walk through the fake marble gates as the sun went down, and the sea flashed amber and then gray, and Staten Island disappeared into the shadows, and the light grew dim enough for you to fool yourself that the marble wasn't fake at all. And then the bulbs blinked on, a million of them, lighting up the night in the largest amusement park in the world, which was a hell of a thing to see, just a few years after you'd seen your first electric light at all, and after you'd spent a 12-hour day in some basement room or some windowless factory floor, stitching sleeves or packing boxes, fitting fingers to gloves by gaslight. It'd be a hell of a thing even now to see dozens of white buildings made to look like French pavilions, Roman fora, Florentine towers, aglow at the edge of the ocean, where you could dance in history's largest ballroom, where you could drink tea in a Japanese garden, where you could sit in an auditorium in bleachers surrounding a vast pool of salt water and watch submarines fight a fake battle beneath a scale model of San Francisco. You could buy your ticket to Dreamland and take a gondola ride through the canals of Venice, past St. Mark's Square and the Doge's Palace, steal a kiss beneath the Bridge of Sighs. You could ride your first escalator, this one to the top of a giant slide, which would send you down, caroming off obstacles like the Plinko board on The Price is Right. If you landed on the right spot, you won a prize. You could take a miniature train ride through a fake Switzerland, or another from New York to California, or walk the streets of Cairo, or Paris, and other places you were never, ever going to go otherwise. Or you could sit on a swing with your friends inside a tiny house and then feel the swing move and feel yourself flip end over end and only figure out later on when you're all laughing over beers, sitting out under the string lights and salt air, that you hadn't moved at all, that it was the tiny house that had flipped end over end around you. You could gawk at a freak show and at premature babies in a hospital ward, which was a freak show too, but one that happened to be the only place in the world equipped to keep premature babies alive. You could sit and watch them through the glass, alongside their anxious parents. You could see a cast of 2,000 people set fire to a 6-story hotel and watch firefighters put it out, scaling ladders to rescue actors from real danger and catch them in nets as they made panic leaps from 4th-story windows, so they can make panic leaps tomorrow night, and the next night, and the next. You could tour the Lilliputian town, where dozens of little people live full-time in a half-sized village, a 15th century French village, because the indignity of living in a human zoo with modern amenities wasn't enough. You could fly over all of it in a hot air balloon. You could sink below it in a diving bell. You could watch a magician make a woman float right over your head. You could eat a hot dog. They just invented hot dogs. You could see a one-handed lion tamer, and chariot races, and whirling dervishes, and snake dancers. And you could climb into a boat ride called the Gates of Hell, until one night, one of those million light bulbs blew and sent a spark that flitted onto paper mache and sent all of Dreamland up in flames. And 2,000 firefighters, all of them pretend, couldn't put Dreamland back together again. The Memory Palace is produced by me with engineering assistance from Kathy Tu and research assistance from Andrew Milne. The show is a proud, proud, proud member of Radiotopia from PRX. We're supported by MailChimp, which is dedicated to creativity, chaos, and teamwork. AdZurk provides ad-serving technology to PRX. If you want to follow me on Twitter or on Facebook, I am at The Memory Palace. It's easy. I hope you're having a great summer. Talk to you again.
Radiotopia.